I can make this thing stop, then I'm having fun. Make my brain stop. Because when the brain stops, there you are right in this moment. That's why we listen to music. Lulls the brain into shh. This is emotion art. Yep. Emotion, because we're all made of emotions. A personality is the sum of all the emotions it has experienced over a lifetime. And a personality is therefore always changing. But at its core, it is emotion. And art, because everything we do wants to be art. Art happens when emotion is expressed through some medium, like paint, or music, or talking. The more you express your emotional personality through whatever you're doing, the more joy you're going to have. The more it's going to feel like life fits you. That to me means that everything we do wants to be art. Emotion art. This is a conversation I had with Logan. Finally. Like 4 years ago, when I first really got excited about starting to interview people, maybe starting a podcast, Logan was one of the, possibly the first person who said, "I'll record with you." Loogie did the same thing later on when I was ready to record. Logan did it before I was ready. I was just like, oh, I need to get microphones and I need to, like, this is so exciting. I'm going to do all this stuff and I got to start, like, having conversations. But what conversations? Who do I have conversations with? And I'm like, Logie, would you record with me? And she was like, yes, I'll record with you. I was like, okay, once I get mics, you're going to be my first interview. Didn't happen that way, but it finally happened and it was fantastic. Logie, thanks for letting me record some of your stories so that people who are curious can experience a little bit of life outside of their own worldview. It's the coolest kind of gift. Okay, Mary, thank you for co-hosting this one with me. You're a fantastic co-host, and I can't wait to do it again. Mary has one or two other podcast projects she's working on that I'm beyond excited to experience when it's time. Buddy Anderson, as always, thank you for your music. We appreciate you. You make this podcast better. Check out Buddy's music on Spotify at From Another Mista. His link's in the show notes. Actually, thanks to Angela and all of her editing magic, there's links to just about everything we talk about in the show notes. As she goes, she just looks things up that we talk about, and she'll even put a Wikipedia page link in there. So for those of you who like to check things out, if something catches your interest, thank Angela. And now we explore Logan's worldview. Enjoy.
Welcome to Emotion Art.
Emotion Art, where we sit down and make art
with our emotions.
Emotion art.
Creative energy moving outward in conscious expression of feeling.
Emotion art.
Emotion, because we are literally made of emotion. Art, because everything we do wants to be art. Emotion art feels.
Emotion art.
It's all beautiful.
Emotion art.
A space for emotional art. Creative energy moving outward in conscious expression.
Emotion art.
An emotion art gallery.
This is emotion art.
You're welcome.
Loud and clear.
Hello?
Hello?
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Did my head shrink? Because these feel bigger than they ever felt.
Dude. You barfed your brains out.
Mary, you need to put your mic way closer to your face.
You know, I did.
Lick it, Mary.
I did. Okay, it's okay, falling.
I can't go.
That's why. I didn't tighten it enough.
Yeah. You can go up and down and stuff.
That is correct.
Ooh, how you like that?
It's very close to my face.
I can hear myself breathing.
I'm a pug.
How's everyone's ear volume?
Pretty good.
Not the same as my foot volume.
Well, you know what they say about a foot.
What?
An inch is as good as a mile.
I don't know.
Don't
what
think
that
anyone
means.
Says that besides you.
Oh, well,
off with.
Off that's with normal.
You. Off with.
Off with.
Off with.
Off with.
Okay, we recording.
Mm-mm. Oh, sweet.
Ever since the first episode with you, I'm always going to hit recording before I tell you.
I know, you get some gems in there, man. You it's do. The best. Jim Gaffigan, Jim Johnson.
Jim Johnson.
There's a lot of Jims. Can't think of any of them but Jim Gaffigan.
There's only one Jim.
Jim.
Jim Carrey.
Oh, you're right. That's true. You know Jim Carrey.
Whoa.
The pet detective?
Yep.
All
yep.
right.
Yep.
I actually think yep. we were talking with Ike yep. about the same thing.
We like Jim Carrey here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Logie.
Hello.
Hi, Logs.
Hello.
And Mary.
Hi. Hi, Michael.
We all made it here.
We did.
Yeah.
Me and Mary got here at the same time.
We did. I'm still really stoked about that.
Yeah.
Did you get here at the same time because you came in the same way?
No. Mm-mm. I just happened to look at the clock and I was like, I should go up to the forge. And then I walked in and then Logie came in the other way. She came in through the front door. I always come in. If the garage is open, I always go through the garage. So then I was like, did you just get here? She's like, yeah. I was like, me too.
We met in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
While all of this was happening, I was telling Angela that Angela's like, oh, Mary's always late. Mm-hmm. She's just going to be late. So yeah. You can like take a rest. And I was like, oh, that sounds so good. I was like, I'm just going to go set my timer for 30 minutes. Mary's going to be late anyway.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go do that now. She was like, okay. And then I walked out there and there you guys were. And I was like, oh, my plan just changed.
I know, it's awesome. I do like to think that I give people time to rest with my lateness, though. People should be appreciative of that. Like my boss.
The thing I like about lateness is it's real.
Yeah.
I'm never late. Am I not real?
You're not real. I'm real.
You always like to be on time.
I'm always on time.
You're always on time. That, for you, is real.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people who are on time, and it's a huge hassle for them. They hate it. And so I'd rather just be late.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a habit. And if you like being on time, be on time.
Yeah.
I like being on time. Being late stresses me out.
Yeah, and being on time stresses me out. The act of, oh no, I've procrastinated. Now I have to get ready. That stresses me out. But I have, like, my whole life, because I've been late so much, I'm just like, oh, well.
People know.
Not even that. It's just, like, I'm comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even look at it as being late, really. If I'm 20 minutes late, I'm on time. Like, that's, I'm not even joking you. That's how my brain works. It's weird.
Has it always worked that way?
Yep. My mom used to have to tell my dad that we had to be somewhere, like, an hour to a half an hour prior to the actual time so that we could get there on time. So I think I get it from him.
Hmm. It's crazy how different your experience is from your experiences, from my experience. And what stresses you out may be like chill level one for Logie.
Mm-hmm. Chill level one.
Chill level one?
Yeah. And yet we all coexist and are most more or less friendly.
Mm-hmm. More or less.
Bro.
I love ASMR so much.
No, that was a good one. I don't like most ASMR, but that was good.
You know, hold on.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Ooh. That just reminds me of the gym. People get the metal mesh ones so they can drag their
fingernails on. Yeah.
Some people put like saran wrap over it and put glue. That's a good one.
On the microphone?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
As more and more people get used to having an ability to video or record something and post it, more and more weird stuff is starting to just come out.
Yeah.
Pretty great. And TikTok's back.
Did it go somewhere?
It was banned for 10 hours.
Did it go?
It was back up.
Did it go somewhere?
It did go somewhere.
It actually got banned?
For like 10 hours. Mm-hmm. At like
for 10 hours, like, you were not able to post on TikTok?
I don't post.
Or
I
watch.
Just watch.
Yeah, same.
I think I posted like two videos.
Yeah.
But I like opened it at like, it was like 9:30. And it said it was like, sorry, this is banned. We're like fixing the problem. And then I didn't go on it. And then this morning I like didn't even check because I was like, oh, well, it's gone forever.
Yeah, you're like, this then is at, like, indefinite.
10:30, I opened it and I was like, what? And it worked.
How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. I like TikTok.
Me too.
There's some stuff on there that you can't find anywhere else.
Hmm.
Yep.
Like what?
Which is cool. The things people make on TikTok, it just like, or like the messages people send and just like the community that it has is like, I feel like it's unique to a specific platform.
Hmm.
And I like it.
Yeah. It's, there's some really incredible things out there, like raising awareness for certain like issues and stuff like that. And just like the different things that people can learn because they're using this specific app that those people wouldn't learn anywhere else.
Yeah.
You find community in TikTok.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why people were so upset that it was going to go, not because it like was social media kind of thing, but it was like because there's such a community building aspect to it that people were upset that was going to go.
How important is it to you in your life that you have community?
Very.
And what part of the sense of community that you feel does TikTok make up? Obviously, it would be impossible to answer that exactly, but I'm just wondering what it feels like.
I just feel like no matter what you enjoy, there's thousands of other people that enjoy it on there. No matter what mood you're in or what you're enjoying at that time, you're kind of able to find content about it, which I like.
It's like validating to your human existence.
It's like, I'm not the only one that likes this. I also feel like it's just like a conversation starter.
Mm.
Dude, like between 100%.
A lot of my friends, it definitely just like sparks conversation. Because like things start trending and then you just like, everyone knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's a source of a lot of inside jokes.
It is.
Certain phrases that you hear the boys say probably came from TikTok.
You feel a sense of community with your friends, I take it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're able to be completely yourself with your close friend group?
Yeah, I'd say so.
What do you mean, I'd say so?
I don't know if I feel like I can be completely myself with whoever I'm with. That's just like always been kind of a thing.
Hmm.
So as much as I let myself, definitely. And the people I surround myself with are going to be people that I like trust.
Okay, I hear you saying that. You are going to surround yourself with people that you can be fully yourself with, but you are not ever fully yourself, or?
I don't know what I'm trying to say, because I don't think I ever let myself fully be myself, even when I'm like alone.
Hmm.
Like there are parts of me that I'm just like, I try to like shun away, which is definitely something that I need to work on. But the people I surround myself with are the ones that I feel like I can be myself the most with, and then I can kind of talk about that.
So what I'm getting at with that is I'm wondering if the sense of community you feel from TikTok, like you guys, it sounds like TikTok is a big deal in all of your lives. And so it's a conversation starter. So I'm wondering if there is.
It's not necessarily a big deal in like all of our lives. Like there are a lot of my friends that don't have it.
Yeah.
But like the ones that I do where it's like, it's just like a fun thing to talk about.
Okay. I'm digging for something where there's nothing there.
I think
perfect.
So.
Well, I love doing that.
I wonder. So Logie, remind me how old you are.
16.
Okay.
You so, didn't remember that?
No, I just wanted
neither
to.
Neither did
say.
I.
Okay, so you're 16. So I feel like that age, like you're constantly evolving and learning what you like, and that changes from time to time. And so I think it's hard to feel steadfast in an answer, like answering who, being yourself, because who is that, right? Because it's still evolving. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how I would explain myself.
It's so true.
I don't know what, like, I remember there was, like, a specific time. It was, like, over the summer. I think it was, like, at a party. Maybe it was, like, Diana's wedding thing.
Yeah.
And someone asked, like, they said that I feel like I know myself really well. And they asked, like, so who are you? And I was, like, I didn't know how to answer it. I was, like, I don't actually know. Which I think opened a lot of doors for me in a way. Like, realizing that. I feel like I was able to accept the change more.
I think it's cool that you didn't jump to, well, I swim and I play soccer.
Yeah.
You know, people tend to identify like with the things they do.
Like, they're big parts of me, but they're just, like, It's like an outlet for parts of me. It's not who I am.
Hmm.
Do you feel like you're mature?
I would say so. Am I?
Uh-huh. I think you are.
Yeah.
I think that you have the space to figure out who you are and to continue to figure out who you are. I don't know. That might not feel true.
I think, yeah.
I think that anybody who answers the question, who are you, with I don't know, any variation of that, is somebody who sees themselves pretty clearly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
I remember the first time I met Gwen, like a lot of you guys answer that question that way. It blows my mind. No, that is, okay, I need to stop saying that because now I just have a picture of brains all over the wall.
Shoot.
Then you had to say that. It just feels really good to hear a 16-year-old, because that's the same thing Gwen said, because of course that's what I'm going to ask when, you know, Ike brings his girlfriend over. I'm going to be like, so put yourself in a box for me.
Yeah.
How would you sum yourself up? And yeah. She's like, confused,
I guess.
Confused. That's what she said. Yeah. And I'm like,
I don't know why you're asking me that.
That was a shocking answer because I haven't been asking these questions for very long. I've been too afraid to. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, how do you feel about that? She's like, I'm okay with it.
Nice.
It felt like the most satisfying who are you interaction I'd ever had.
Yeah, satisfying that you didn't get an answer.
Yes. Because the truth is, exactly even though I am looking for something, mm-hmm. the truth is that underneath it all, no one actually knows who they are. In this one moment, I'm a person wearing a whole bunch of colorful patchwork sitting in a chair in front of a microphone talking to you guys.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Yeah,
totally.
So I love those answers. And I have another TikTok question.
Oh, shoot.
Okay, let's say that it still was banned. Yeah. And now it's a week later.
Yeah.
And it's banned. Mm-hmm. And you have tried to open it so many times and it still says banned. Now what do you do?
Well... The other day in forensics, I was talking to my friend Katie. We had a sub and we didn't do anything. And there's this Chinese app called Red Note.
Yeah. I've heard
TikTok
of it. I've heard of it.
It's banned in China. So we downloaded it.
It is?
Yeah. That's why it's so weird.
Oh, they banned it everywhere.
The plot thickens. Okay.
It's been banned in China for years. So like this app has been around and we downloaded it. And it's basically just like a Chinese version of TikTok. So I was on that. It like got banned. So last night when I was doing my little nightly scroll before bed, I was on that. So I had another thing, but it's like TikTok is TikTok.
Like, where am I going to get my dopamine hit from? Bro. Give me that Red Note.
It's part of my like routine.
Like if TikTok goes away, all of you, your generation is going to just make another TikTok.
Yeah.
People are going to go back to Instagram for a bit, I think.
Definitely. I don't know. I'm not a big... My Instagram Reels and my TikTok are completely different.
Yeah, for sure.
And on Instagram Reels, people can see what you liked and see who you follow. And
I don't like that.
I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Why?
Invasive.
It feels like I'm airing out my business. And I like some really weird stuff.
Of course you do. You're weird. Everybody.
And the things that you like.
I don't like the people
who see it. Are there thousands and hundreds of thousands of likes on them already?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not the only one that... So,
I'm the
so
only
what,
one of
what
the people
something...
that I follow in my school of 300 people that like that.
Okay.
So...
What if there are other people in your school that like it and just don't know because they have never met somebody who's willing to...
Or they didn't hit the heart.
Definitely true.
They didn't hit the heart.
Okay.
I just like it.
I just like when I can keep my business private.
I see.
Would you say that you're a private person?
To an extent, yes. There's definitely stuff I don't talk about that I like to keep to myself.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Wow.
What?
Just like...
I had the same question in my head. I was like, talk about it now.
Yeah. Go on. You said just like. Go on.
No, just stuff that... Either important things that I don't know how to describe yet or how they make me feel. That's what I definitely keep private. Because I don't know how I would describe it. Like, I know it impacts me in such an important way, and it, like, makes me who I am, but I don't know how I would put it into words or even, like, a feeling of what it is.
So you're saying you keep the things private that you don't understand?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because
Until I understand them. Like, if I'm talking about something that's important to me, I want to be able to see the whole picture. My friend Anna said this really cool thing the other day. She was giving her testimony in our Bible study, and she said, hold on, let me find it.
Cool.
It's hard to see the bigger picture in the middle of the story. So, like, I feel when I'm still processing things or still almost, like, angry about them or, like, have such a strong emotion about it, I feel like I talk about it in an angry way.
I think that's a way of processing, though.
Yeah. Like, it's a way of processing, but then stepping back, I feel like I'm able to understand it more and, like, find a reason why I made the decisions that I did, if it's that kind of situation, or just, like, how I'm feeling about it and, like, how it impacted me.
Mm-hmm. You think a lot.
I do. Too much, I would say, sometimes.
What's something in your life right now that feels very important to you?
Something in my life that feels really important right now is definitely growing my faith. I am new to Christianity, and it's like the majority of the rest of the family doesn't believe in it. So I feel like finding ways to grow it, even surrounded by people that don't follow. Like, I have a really big community mm-hmm. that does follow. So just growing my faith and kind of understanding it more
yeah,
is big for me.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm. I kind of started going to youth group stuff every once in a while, like freshman year, because that's when I met like my group of friends now.
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely last year and this summer is when it started to, I started to like understand it more and want to, like it definitely
you feel
became
like
more of a thing.
Resonating with yeah. you. And you're like, hey, this makes sense to me.
Yeah. Right. And for like the longest time I was like, because I am gay. That's also a big part of me. And I feel like a lot of the time religion is taught in kind of like a disclusive way. Or like it excludes people, which it shouldn't. So I feel like I was really insecure about that. But the people I met and the youth groups I go to, and like my youth pastor Gemma is one of like, I consider her like a big sister now, because she was like just so kind in how she taught it to me. And like the people I surround myself fully like accept me. So for the longest time, I was like, I can't actually believe in this. Like, people won't take me seriously. I was like really insecure about it. Mm-hmm. So then when I realized like, oh, it doesn't have to be a shameful thing to be gay and believe in God, then I feel like I fully started to let myself get into it, because I wanted to for so long. But then
you felt drawn to it.
Yeah.
What draws you to Christianity?
It's like really unconditionally loving, which I like.
Mm.
It gives me a sense of security, which I like, because I feel like for most of my life, I didn't feel that.
Mm.
Like, I had people that cared for me, obviously, and I had people that I was able to talk to, but I didn't really have something that made me feel secure. So I feel like that's really helpful. I'm able to understand things more and know that, like, almost like there's someone in my corner all the time,
mm-hmm.
which I like.
Does it like, do you feel like it's like grounding? Do you feel like it adds peace to your life, or do it, I don't know.
Definitely both. So I feel like that's kind of why I got into it.
Yeah. So how did you get into it? What's the first time you went? How did that happen?
It was like a baking thing, or like, I don't know, you get in a team and you bake something, you have like a certain amount of time. Like, you go to the store and you make it.
Is that the Christmas time thing, or is that something different? I remember a baking thing not that long ago.
Yeah, I think it was like that same thing, but it was
like cool.
Years ago. It was like freshman or sophomore year. And like, I knew my really good group of friends with Christian, but I wasn't. And they were like kind of planning, like, we need to introduce Logan to this. Because like, a big part of Christianity is spreading the gospel. Like, that's part of it.
Mm.
So they plotted on it. So like, started bringing me to things. And then I went on a retreat, and the things they were preaching wasn't what I was expecting. Mm. It wasn't nice. It like wasn't
okay.
good. And like, everyone who was there thought that too. So at first, when I heard the thing, I was like, what? Like, this is what it actually is. And then we got back to our like little cabin thing. I was in a group with like all my friends, and the leader was like, that wasn't good.
Really?
Like, you shouldn't take anything from that.
Whoa, that's
cool. So we kind of debunked it in a different way. And then I was like, oh, this is nice. There are people who believe in a nice way. So then I started going to more youth group stuff, and we started a little Bible study with my good friends. And then I went on another retreat. So then I started, like, believing more. And then the most recent retreat I went on was, like, groundbreaking.
Hmm.
It okay. was, like, I can't remember. I think it was November. And in November, there was this one night. It was the last night we were there. And we were doing, we had, like, Gemma spoke, and she read some stuff. And then we had, like, a worship thing. I love worship. So we were all singing. And then I started crying because I was, like, I just felt everything so much. And then she, like, opened it up to, like, prayer. And everyone was in there for, like, an hour after that, just, like, praying. And then all my friends came over me and, like, surrounded me. And we're all, like, crying. And they were, like, praying over me. And it was, like, it was such an important thing.
Mm.
So.
So deeply connective.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And after that, I was, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I never want to not have this community with me. So.
I have cold chills.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, that's kind of what humans are after in the human condition is connection. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And Gemma had set up this thing. We all had notebooks that she made for that retreat. And the thing was, like, that's where you take your notes during devotionals and stuff. And then in the back, people wrote notes, like little letters to people.
To each other?
Yeah. So we could all have that connection kind of thing. And we all kind of read him on the last day, and a lot of people got, like, teary-eyed, and, like, it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So having the connection was really cool.
You have a youth group after this, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I don't know if I'm able to go because I need to go walk Chewy, but maybe I'll go for half of it. It's just game night.
Connection night.
Connection mm-hmm. night. Yeah.
You mentioned that there's not a lot of people in your family who are Christian.
Yeah, I feel like it's not something we, like, talk about a
practicing
lot.
Practicing, maybe.
Yeah. And it's, like, not a topic that comes up a lot.
So I'm wondering.
I know that you used to be.
There's a foundation there for a lot of you.
Yeah. Because I remember going to church a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel like something that is continuing to be practiced in the house.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
What my question is, does it feel like you have the space to talk about what you want to? Does that create any difficulty with trying to figure this whole, I don't know, it's a new way of looking at the world. It's a new way of experiencing yourself, mm-hmm. I imagine. And what's that like in your situation? Do you feel like you have the space to talk about it?
I think so. I'm still kind of getting used to it.
Okay.
I feel like in the beginning there for a moment, it was almost like I wasn't made fun of for it, but people weren't expecting it. And it was kind of like, what do you mean? Mm. I didn't know if it was my place to talk about it because I don't know very much and I'm still learning and figuring it out. So I didn't feel like I had the right to talk about it, but I feel like I definitely do. Like, I'm talking about it now.
And yes.
I talked with Mom, like, when I got back from the retreat, and it was like, I definitely do. I just don't know if I choose to a lot.
Sure. And I can understand it would be scary, especially since you keep the things private that you don't understand.
Like, exactly.
Like you were saying.
Like, I don't want to talk a ton about it when I don't know a ton about it.
I mean, the problem is that that's how you learn, but where do you find the balance?
But it's almost like a subconscious thing that it's like, I can't bring it up.
Yes.
Well, I will say that I think I had some type of reaction towards you one time when you mentioned youth group, and I did in the kitchen. I can picture it in my head. And now I feel really terrible about that.
No.
And I'm really sorry. No, I'm being serious though, because
what happened? Like, what?
I think you were just mentioning that you were going to youth group. And I think my face, because my experience, right, is the exact opposite of yours as a gay person. Exactly.
Which makes sense to have a reaction to that.
Totally. But that judgment isn't fair, right? Because you need to be able to have the space to figure that out. And it's cool because you didn't grow up with it being shoved down your throat.
Yeah.
So you have a different experience. And I think that's really awesome. And I think the courage that you have, that you were talking about, like being a gay person, doing this thing, whenever in your head you were like, well, I'm not going to be accepted, but you did it anyway.
Yeah.
That takes so much courage, you know? And like, you did it anyway.
I don't feel like I ever got judgment from you, by the way.
Oh, cool. I just wanted to acknowledge that, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because I think it's awesome. You do so much. You're like the busiest teenager I've ever met. Well, Ike too, but
Ike too.
Yeah. Well, what about Ike? Do you guys talk about? Because he kind of.
Yeah, we have a little bit.
I know. I always say we need to bring fidgets, and then I forget to bring the fidgets because it's like
I should have worn my rings.
Something to do with your hands, yeah.
But
we can play with that cord.
We have talked a little bit about it. I kind of just told him like the same thing what I just told you, just like kind of how it all worked out. He thought it was really awesome.
I feel like Ike is really supportive.
He is.
Yeah. So
me and Ike, some of my favorite moments with Ike is when we're alone on the back porch and it's like we don't have school in the morning, it's like 11:30 and we have like Cheez-Its and we just talk for hours, and it's like my favorite
Cheez-Its
thing.
Cheez-Its chat
because we have like the best conversations ever about like everything, because like we grew up in the same way but also so differently at the same time, so it
feels surreal.
Yeah,
you're also going through certain life things together. Yeah, we've had really, you're the same age.
Yeah. And like really similar experiences and really similar ways of processing it and kind of how it affected our life.
Mm. Oh, but in every other way, so different.
Yeah. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to think about.
You guys have the makings of some surreal stories. One day you're going to have a story to tell that's going to make people go, what?
Yeah. I told Ophelia and Kat about it at swim the other day because it was like a heat, the 500. We had like 8 minutes where we weren't doing anything. And I
just an 8 minute glimpse into my life.
Yeah. So it's like really fun to tell people this, like, not like the full story because that would take years.
Okay.
And all the layers.
So that little elevator pitch you give people. Do you know, is that something you can just pull out easily? Like, I want to hear, what do you tell people when you're just trying to get that?
You've
got to
have it down by now. Because I know you've had to do it multiple times.
I don't have it down, though. I feel like it changes every time.
But, like, for me, it was always like, oh, yeah, I was born in Chicago, raised in a cult, joined the Amish. Like, you know.
Just your normal American life.
Casual guy.
You have, like, a highlight reel that you give to these people that's just the little trunk, that little highlight.
Yeah, I don't even know. Because sometimes I add other things that happened. Or sometimes I say other things that happen, but generally it's open relationship, combination. Parents got divorced. We all moved in here, but there's more people, but there's like not as many people, but it's like, I don't know, because I don't even know if I fully understand it.
How blended families.
I don't think any of us do.
Yeah. Yeah. No one knows how what's could going you? On.
No.
But I give like snippets of kind of how it happened in like growing up in a party household, kind of things I saw.
Ooh, a party household.
Young age, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
From like 8.
Michael.
I don't like talk about that stuff a lot, but it's like definitely influenced me.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, dude.
Definitely going
She's
to
like,
my,
I that's need like, Jesus.
That's like
going to my first house party from under 10. I don't know. I feel like it's part of why I'm so mature, is the way our family was growing up.
Exposure to.
But I mean.
Like me and Ike and Mia, I feel like we got very mature from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad about it.
No.
I think it's cool the way I grew up. Definitely grateful for it. Definitely affected me in a lot of ways, but.
I mean, you could have other weird trauma, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has
Yeah, dude, like pick your, you know, just like a suitcase. You just open it up, like pick what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something's going to shape you.
So you feel like you've gotten to the point where you look back and see it in light of who you've become rather than the discomfort that you were feeling at the time?
Parts of it. I still am kind of angry about maybe, or like I don't know how it's affected me yet. Yeah, I get into situations and then I'm like, oh, that makes sense of why I'm feeling that way. Like kind of clicks. So I kind of get that almost new. Like every time I'm in like a hard situation, it's like, that makes sense why I feel that way. I kind of make the connection. So I feel like I'm slowly working my way through it of how things have affected me and like the parts I can understand come slowly.
Who's your therapist?
Myself.
I mean, I was usually thinking
about therapy too.
That's like usually decades of therapy.
I went to one therapist, but he stressed me out.
Hmm.
So I stopped going. He was kind of weird. Maybe I do need a therapist.
Sounds like you're asking yourself all the right questions. Yeah. A therapist can't do more than that.
Yeah.
I kind of just gather what a ton of people say or like things I see online. And I'm like, oh, like that make me like have kind of a revelation moment or like make me feel something. And then I try to figure out why.
You should.
My legs are going numb. Uh-oh.
Bless you. I try not to shine a light on it when it's happening, but I cannot tell you how good it makes me feel to watch you and Ike or any of you guys just connecting, because there's been so much intense chaos. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't always been like that. And
the connecting?
Yes. And that's, I've been a mess for a long time.
We all have.
And that lack of connection was like the thing that was the hardest for me to see. And so I was always trying to push it and make it happen, which of course was just utterly disastrous.
Yeah.
And now I finally figured out that it's not my job. I wasn't the one holding it together in the first place. Never have been. Still not. And now I just get to watch it happen, and it's just beautiful. I love it.
I feel like as all of us are getting older, it's definitely coming more naturally. Because I feel like for the longest time, like us older three had such a disconnect.
Because I feel like we got,
no, like
with the family,
with the rest of the family, I feel like.
Mm.
Because I feel like it became opposite ends of the spectrum. Me, Ike, and Mia matured real fast, and the other ones didn't. So I kind of felt like I wasn't able to have a real conversation with them unless I was like playing a card game or like, I still definitely feel that way about some, like Sawyer. I feel like I haven't actually had like a real conversation with him.
Yes.
Ever. Just because he's like 10 years old and I'm 16. There's a 6-year age difference and we process things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Even like me at 10 years old and Sawyer at 10 years old. And that's not a bad thing.
No.
And he's the baby of a chaotic family.
Yeah.
What a rough road he's had to walk.
Oh, and and I don't want to like upset him. He's an easily upset person, which makes complete sense.
And
I
don't want getting less and less that way.
It is.
He's changing by the day now.
Crazy. He is. Yeah.
I think he's just starting to be, I think he's starting to be honest with himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's tired of being a victim.
Mm-hmm. I think all of them are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
The change is crazy.
And they're watching you guys.
Yeah, they are. And you guys are pretty good role models, dude.
Yes.
You are. Seriously.
The best. And you guys are doing exactly what you want to do. You're like pursuing Christianity. And I have some questions about, like you said, how did you say it? You're trying to deepen.
Yeah, deepen my connection.
Your connection.
Understand
your relationship.
Understand it more.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how are you doing that? What are you doing to, I don't know.
Well, I can't really go to like morning services. That's just a lot of driving on Sundays. That's when I do everything. But I read a lot of scripture. Writing is the way I process things. I write every night. Mm. So I read scripture and I write about it. And I go to Bible study. I often go back over my testimony a lot, add things, take things out, look at like key moments.
Like when you say go over your testimony, you mean the story
of how I like
how you,
why I'm the way I am and how I became like how I came to Christ.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So definitely scripture, definitely reading, talking a lot in Bible study. I go on hikes a lot with Gemma.
Cool.
And some of my friends and just talking through things like that. Because I have that community outside of family that has basically been rooting for me for years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like finally getting to see it become a thing. And I know that's big for them. Mm-hmm. I can definitely tell. And Gemma's told me a lot. So talking and writing, definitely. And worship.
I like the way you say worship.
Worship?
Worship.
Worship?
Earlier when you said it, I thought you said warship.
Worship.
Like, worship.
You did what? Yeah,
we bomb people.
It's called battleship.
With love.
With love.
With Jesus' love.
Jesus' love.
Worship is definitely still has a very special place in my heart.
I'm a big music person.
Yeah, you are.
I love music, so it's really cool to like combine the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and there's just something raw and genuine about worship, where it's just people
worshiping an entire room of people who are just crying and just like,
oh my goodness,
feeling all of it. It's like, you can't get that anywhere else. Yeah. You can't get that feeling.
Yeah.
I think that's why I love live music so much. It's so raw.
Yeah.
That was definitely my favorite part about my Christian days.
Worship.
Oh, cool.
Being part of worship.
Yes.
There's nothing like it.
Yes.
And I was a worship leader. Like, in regularly in circles I was in, I would play guitar or drums and sing and whatever. But
cool. That's what Maggie and Lucy do a lot of. They're like beautiful singers. They sing a lot of our worship.
Worship. I was in a band.
What?
Yeah, I was in a church band, you guys.
What'd you play?
Yes. Guess what our name was?
Worship.
No, dude. Are you ready for this?
I don't think I am. So
I am very ready.
We had t-shirts and everything. We would play on Sunday mornings at my church. Our name was Forgiven.
Like with the number four? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
That's so good.
Dude, yeah. As my aunt was my youth pastor, and my cousin, who I'm still very close with, who is also gay.
Sick.
Yeah. She is a really good singer, and we like to sing together. So like, it started out, I grew up in like a super German Protestant church. And, so it started out like my aunt would play songs and Kelsey and I would like sing duets, like, a few songs from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? We would sing. I'm trying to think of the names of them.
Yeah,
we were pretty good. And then basically,
Man of Constant Sorrow. It was when
church band, oh man, that's a great song. But it was like when church bands started getting really big, or Christian bands started getting really big. And so we're like, why don't we form a band?
Let's do it.
Yeah. And the pastor's son played the drums. So he did that. And then we like outsourced somebody that played guitar who was not a Christian. And he was a really angry guy. but yeah, it's so funny to think back about that.
Yeah. Our staple is the box drum.
Oh, wait, like a cajon?
Like the one that you sit on?
Yeah, cajon. Those are awesome. We have that
in all of our things. It's like box drum, piano, and guitar.
Yeah.
And a singer.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I guess you guys all do it together then? Or like, are there like
two people? It's like on all of our retreats, we have worship leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You sing. Everyone else is singing too, but like that's where the music comes from.
That's a great way to connect though too. Like you're saying, like it's just, I don't know, something about playing music with other people and singing with other people is just,
and like seeing all of your best friends sing it is really cool.
Mary, I just found out something extremely interesting about you.
What's that?
And I'm just wondering, does Forgiven have any thoughts of a reunion tour?
No,
or anything?
Dude.
I want to see this.
You and your cousin could do it.
I wonder if we have any videos.
What did you play or sing? What was your part?
I sang. I mean, I could play the piano when I was younger, but I would get really nervous to like do that.
In the band, mostly you sang?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelsey and I sang.
I don't think I've ever heard you sing.
You haven't?
I've never even.
But not like singing. Like I've heard you sing, but not like.
Like joking around singing.
Yeah.
Or do ballet. I've never seen you do ballet.
Nobody's seen me do ballet. Look at these ankles. They're permanently swollen. There ain't no way I'm
Mary's
doing ballet.
Just one big sprained ankle.
Yeah, dude, I'm just a sprained ankle. Here Lies Mary.
Good album.
Sprained ankle. Oh, yeah. It's going to be the name of my memoir. Oh, I've been super into Phoebe Bridgers lately, dude. Yeah, I've been thinking about you.
I love Phoebe Bridgers.
Like, just playing the Punisher album.
Oh, my God.
Non-fucking stop. It's insane.
It's so
Talk
good.
About worship.
It's so good.
I would worship Phoebe Bridgers till the day I die. She's awesome. I know I'm behind. That album came out a while ago, but I thought about you. Yeah.
2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that
Lucy
name.
Dacus is coming out with a new album.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
dang. Yeah, Logie has really good taste in music.
I do.
What's your favorite worship artist?
I don't know if I have one.
What's one you like?
I don't know.
You don't know
names? Artists.
Oh.
I had a stroke. I don't know a lot of worship music.
You don't
Gemma
listen.
Made me a playlist and I just play it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's fair.
A lot of my own music I know the artists and songs of, but I haven't done a deep dive into other worship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's your art?
Writing, I feel like. I want to get into acting. I'm too scared though. That's been a big thing that I wanted to do for my entire life.
What are you scared of?
that I'm not going to be good at it. So I just don't want to try.
Oh, man, that's not like you.
I know. And that's weird because that's something. And if I've wanted to do something for a long time, I'm going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird that I haven't tried it. But Lacey also really likes acting. So we're going to take a class together.
Yeah, you said that but recently. That's cool.
But I'm too scared to be in a school play. I was going to do.
You would have so much fun.
I know. I just get nervous because I can't sing.
I get nervous.
I've never actually like sang.
Yeah, I'm sure you can sing.
I can. I just like have never actually tried. So I'm scared to like audition and sing alone in front of people.
Does every single person that is in the school play have to, even if they want to be part of the chorus, they have to do like a.
I don't know if you have to, but if you like, I want to get like a good part. I don't just want to be like a background dancer.
But what if you started there? You know, just to like take the edge off.
But I don't
know.
Like one more play.
You just
want to
go big,
do.
Dude. You want to go big or go home.
I'd want to do screen more than. Is that your stomach?
That was my stomach.
Sound like a cat.
It is a cat.
In my Leonard?
Yeah. I ate hims. I'm not really hungry.
Cinerovirus coming back?
Yeah, dude.
But I'd want to do like screen acting more than like Broadway or something.
Yeah.
Logie, I really want to see you act.
I do
like,
too.
So bad I can't even stand it. And so it's
I
so
act so bad.
Okay, so
it's been a thing for forever.
This is okay. One of the first things you told me about yourself.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When you think of being in that place where you are acting, what's the feeling you have inside?
I don't know. It's just like all a ton of emotion. Cool. I feel like everything all at once. Everything everywhere all at once.
Is that how you want to feel?
Yeah. And okay. I want to make people feel emotion.
So
such a big
house.
Part of like such a big part of why I want to act is because when I watch other people who are like having an amazing performance of movies and shows, that's what I love. I love movies and shows because it makes me feel such like a deep emotion inside of me. And seeing the things you're feeling through another person's portrayal of them mm-hmm. in a story is like one of the craziest things ever. And I want to make people feel that. I want to make people feel all the emotion that's inside of me mm-hmm. into them.
So you want to express the emotion that's inside of you through acting mm-hmm. because you can't make people see or feel anything.
No, but if I put it into another person, that's me.
If you give people a window to look at it.
Exactly.
Because you can't decide what they see.
Yes. But if other people see something, even if it's a completely different feeling inside of me,
right,
if it
exactly.
makes something inside of them,
yeah,
that's like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
My question is the thing that you really want to create that window with the experience in it, or is the thing that you want for somebody to look through the window and see what you want them to see? What do you actually get satisfaction out of in this future world where you are an actor?
I think just the creation of, just the art of it. I feel like seeing it all get put together and seeing people, almost like, you know how a ton of movies gain a lot of traction really fast because of how good the acting is or the story? Like, I think the satisfaction would come from seeing it all get put together, knowing the process behind it and seeing people enjoy it.
Mm.
And seeing that I was able to help create that. With a group of people that also love doing the same thing.
Yeah, other people that are passionate about what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that experience would be satisfying enough that it would make the experience of creating something that does not stir that in people worthwhile? Is it worth making the crap content? Is it worth putting the things out there that you need to put out there to learn in order to get to that place where people take a look and they say, whoa.
Probably, yeah. I just get too scared.
I mean, it is scary, right? It is. When it's not something that you've done fully yet, so.
Yeah.
When you first...
I just feel like I get scared about everything. Kind of annoying. Like, there are so many things that I want to do, but I'm too scared.
Well, it kind of makes sense because the things you don't understand, you're afraid to let out. And the truth is, you're never going to fully understand anything ever because it's always changing, right?
Yeah.
But when you first said that, it made me think of the podcast because that's exactly what was wrong with me. I don't know how to start. And I, like, it's got to be good. It's got, and then It was finally when I realized that it's time for you to start making bad content. Like, mm-hmm. I literally went out to try to make bad content. Crap. And I knew I was going to post it because I had to. Mm-hmm. And it never has been because it's so fun to make, even if everyone hates it. And I don't have any listeners. Like, maybe 6 or 12.
The people who are on the podcast.
Exactly.
Are the listeners of it.
I listen.
And they're
to
the ones
podcast.
That are supposed to be the listeners. But I'm saying, I'm not popular. I'm not known at mm-hmm. all. Popular. And it wouldn't make any difference. It's so intensely satisfying to just see what happens and have yeah. the conversation. And even if it doesn't, like my conversation with my mom, I may never post that. I don't know how she's going to feel, mm-hmm. but I would never post something that someone else isn't comfortable with. Right. But I already got all the satisfaction I need out of it. Anyway, that's what it made me think of because mm-hmm. I know
similar
what
feeling.
Will happen in what
yeah.
that, I know that look that's going to shine out of your eyes when you are acting. And it doesn't yeah. matter how many people like you. It doesn't matter yeah. how many people connect with you because that's how new art is born, is an artist that no one can connect with at yeah. first. Yeah. Like everything fits. And so I just want to do everything I can to try to, you know,
yeah,
be like, hey.
Hey. Because I've like signed up for like, I keep getting emails from like a casting call thing in Portland. I just don't have time to go actually try to do anything with it,
mm-hmm.
which kind of sucks.
Okay.
I can make time.
I have another question now that I wasn't going to ask, but now yeah. I want to. You really enjoy watching content on TikTok.
I do.
You love it. You really appreciate that there are people out there who
I
will
know
make.
Where this is going.
Yeah. And that's why I wasn't going to ask it because it's so obvious. But now that we're having this part of the conversation, I feel like I want to. Why don't you make content?
I'm scared of judgment.
Same reason you don't act?
Yeah.
Yes. Because that's where it starts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only people that follow me are all of my friends at school. A lot of people at school don't, I guess it's just a lot of people in general don't know that that's something I want to do with my life. I feel like a lot of people don't expect it. Maybe they do now that you're raising your hand like that.
No, I just thought I have another question.
I'm scared it's going to be bad at first and people are going to judge me. Mm. Maybe if I make like a completely separate account and block all the people, I don't want to see it. But yeah, eventually I want them to see it when I'm good. I want them to see that I like made something of myself, I guess.
Okay.
Do you feel like you're nobody right now before that?
A little bit, yeah.
Come on, man. Come on. Off week.
But hold on. You said, well, the only people who follow me right now are just my close friends. And then you said, but if I could just block everyone that I don't want to see,
it's not
then I
necessarily
would
just my close friends. It's just like people at school that follow me.
The crazy thing is that right now there's nobody to see your crap content.
I know.
And by the time
Now's
that
the time,
somebody,
baby.
By the time there's somebody to see it, it's not going to be crap content.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
He's spitting okay. truth.
I'm going to leave that dead horse alone. No more beating of horses right here.
Yeah.
I got to do something about it. It was a very light beating, Michael.
Oh,
it was pretty good.
You do not have to do something about it. But I am so excited to see what you do when it's time.
Yeah, same. Totally.
I feel like it's been time for a long time.
Bro.
College could be the thing, dude.
I want to minor in film. If I go to college, I want to do something in film.
Awesome.
I'm just too scared to major in it because I don't know if I could make something.
Talk to Mara.
I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Charlie tell you he's planning to submit a horror film to the Portland Horror Film Festival?
Yeah.
He started making content like 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Wait, separate from his trailer? Because that thing was so sick.
Every single adult that saw that said some version of, I want to see that movie.
I lost my mind. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is incredible.
And someone at work gave me.
He's so talented.
Showed me the Portland horror movie. Whatever. What is it?
I don't know.
Well, we all have to go, obviously.
And they take
the calendar.
They take submissions, mm-hmm. you know, and so Charlie's like, I'm going to submit my movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's going to get in, but.
Hey, you could be in Charlie's movie.
I could. He
asked me.
You'd
be the first white blonde
have...
chick that gets axed.
No, I'm not even blonde.
Dude, close enough. Come on. Right, I'm sorry. Just kidding. It's you can live to
You're
the
blonde.
Very end. We have the same hair color.
We kind of do.
I prefer strawberry blonde.
Oh, right. I'm a sandy blonde.
I'm a dishwater blonde.
Dishwater?
That's what I was growing up. That's what people would say. You have dishwater.
Damn.
Dishwater. That's like maybe a Midwest phrase or something.
Dishwater blonde and mouse brown.
Ooh. Mouse brown.
Bleh.
Those are terrible descriptive words for hair color.
Thank you, true. Because in the sunlight, my hair is a beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful
reddish,
out of the sunlight, Mary.
Reddish blonde color. Okay.
I feel like mine's a brownie blonde.
Brownie blonde.
It's a brownie. It's a blondie. Brownie blonde.
It's a blondie.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's like brown sugar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing that I love about Logie is all of her inside jokes that she keeps in her brain.
I have too many. Just the right amount.
And a book.
And
yeah,
a book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On your phone.
Yes, mm-hmm. The quote book.
The quote book.
There are some weird ones in there. Do we get to hear one of your quote book quotes? Yes.
I'm going to see what the most recent one was.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, dude, I haven't heard them in a long time. I feel like I haven't seen you in a million years. So.
I know. We went a month without seeing each other.
Yeah, and then like 3 weeks. 2 weeks.
Oh, it was one from our conversation the other night where I said, there's a staple on the table. At least it's not a thumbtack on the ground. At least it's not a chainsaw on Helen Keller's pillow.
That
who said that?
I remember that one.
I said that, Michael, because I was cleaning off the table after dinner, and I said, there's a staple on here.
And I had just stepped on a thumbtack, yeah. Like 1 minute
ouch.
Before that.
Yeah, and then we were going through all the things that could
and so I said, well, at least it's not a staple.
And our final one was, at least it's not a chainsaw on Helen Keller's pillow.
Wait, yeah. I get it, because
she couldn't
deaf.
See or hear it.
Or hear it.
Oh, she was blind, too.
Yeah, bro.
It was just the...
It's been a long time since I've studied up on my Helen Keller.
Mm-hmm. You need to get to it.
That's the way jokes go in this house.
Yeah, it's, dude. They're always insane. Like straight to it.
I mean, have you ever seen Hereditary?
Yes. Toni Collette, man.
No.
What an actress. Like
speak of like good acting.
Yeah.
Do you know the scene where she tries to burn her kids in paint thinner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I can tell why I haven't seen
it. I was
going
to say, I don't think it's for
said,
you, Michael.
I turned to him. We were watching it. I said, if you ever wake up covered in paint thinner and I'm holding a match, just know it was on purpose.
Oh my gosh. You guys love each other Logie. So much.
So that is a genre that you really like. You
I
really
do.
Like
I used to hate horror.
You
now
kind of like gore.
I do. I don't get grossed out.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool to think
about.
Have
you seen Planet Terror?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
It's a movie I've been trying to remember the name of for years, and it just popped into my head.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Now I'm going to watch it. Yeah, I think it's like a kind of a cult parody almost, like it's so over the top.
Yeah.
I don't get grossed out, which is a blessing, because I feel like a lot of horror movies and kind of gross movies, even like Game of Thrones, such good acting, such good storytelling. Mm-hmm. That's why I like it so much.
Yeah.
Not because of the gore. Mm. It's not that I enjoy the messed up things that happen in there, but the story of it, the underlying themes of all of it, is just like I'm able to understand it so well. And the acting,
mm-hmm.
seeing people just the like true emotion when someone's getting like brutally stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's why I like it. Not
somebody
the act of seeing
off.
People getting hurt.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You like the art of it, dude.
Yeah.
You liked Saltburn.
I did.
Oh, such a
I
good
did.
Movie.
I love fucked up movies.
So
Midsommar.
Oh,
gross.
Wow.
One of my favorite movies ever.
Horrible, 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 horrible.
So good, though.
You need
Florence
to watch.
Florence Pugh, insane.
Okay, Florence Pugh, great.
She's in Midsommar.
Everything
yes,
else
bro,
about
she's
it,
the
horrible.
Main one.
That's probably the first time I ever saw her then. I mean, because that movie came out years ago.
That's the first time I saw her, too.
Wow.
In Little Women.
Oh, I don't think I've watched that.
What?
I know, and I used to read
it's
those books
with my mom. It's got Timothy Chalamet in it, bro.
I love him.
I know.
I will try to watch your movies. You're going to be a great movie maker, and I'm going to try to watch your movies.
Dude, yeah. You can
I
act for a little bit. Just be
so
a director.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, you and Charlie should freaking
seriously,
do
I mean,
it.
Come on.
I know.
You both want that, and you mm-hmm. like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could play siblings.
You could help write the script if you like to write.
I do love to. Oh, my gosh. We're writing in creative writing right now. We're supposed to write a story based on a song.
Oh,
it's my favorite thing
what
ever.
A good assignment.
I was falling asleep the other night. It just kept coming to me.
Mm.
I just wrote
what?
It all down in my notes.
That's how her brain works.
It's how my brain works.
You are an artist. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody is, but you've found that spot inside. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that is so exciting.
It is.
Okay, super great, sick. Great, 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 great.
I'd write a script to a movie, then star in it.
Yeah, obviously.
That'd be so fun.
Do you know who Mae Martin is?
I don't think so.
They are a queer comedian, hilarious.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They're brilliant,
you told me about
brilliant
them.
Human. Yeah. So they have a show on Netflix coming out. And now of course the title just like literally left my brain. But it's supposed to be pretty good. So I'll let you know Gosh, dang it. That's going to bother me.
It's okay.
But I thought
I'll
of
look
you.
It up.
Yeah. But they play in it. So the reason I thought of that is because they write all the shows that they're in. Ooh. And then they're usually like the showrunner. They are in it, but they're not like the main character.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty good. And it's going to be kind of sinister. Mm. So I think it's like right up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayward. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Wayward. Yeah.
I'll keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm. That was probably unnecessary, but I just thought
no,
of it.
It's okay.
Like, you probably like
Mary,
that.
Mary, every out. Second of this is unnecessary. It is well, just for fun. What are you most afraid of?
Judgment. People hating me.
We should have known that, but we didn't. We did because I was like, what is it? What is she most afraid of?
I had a feeling she was going to answer very quickly.
I'm scared of failure.
Is failure even real?
No.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Is judgment
it's not real?
Real,
but it's like
touche.
Judgment from myself or other people. Yeah.
Is the
I think
same
that's what
thing.
I'm most scared of.
Do you think you've never been judged by anybody ever in your whole life?
Definitely have.
And you're still alive.
I am. But I do feel guilty about it.
About being alive? After being judged?
About being judged. The things that, like...
Guilty or, guilt or shame?
Both.
Mm. Same thing.
Different.
They're cousins.
They're cousins.
Mm-hmm. They're blended family siblings.
Different feelings.
Did you guys get that? That was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's right, good. Cool. That's good. Me and Ike. Yeah, we're guilt and yeah. shame.
Ooh.
We kind of are.
Yeah. Kind of are. Guilt and shame.
I like that. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm scared of being judged.
Okay.
I'm people pleaser.
Mm.
I feel like I always have been. So.
You'll outgrow that.
Hopefully.
You are in the process of actively outgrowing that from everything that I can see and that you've been saying.
Yeah. Definitely working on it.
What's uppermost in your conscious thoughts these days in general?
I'm just stressed right now. I'm kind of scared of everything at the moment. I feel like I'm in a constant up and down of feeling good and feeling really bad. So I guess I'm just kind of scared that that's going to be like that forever, which I kind of feel like is the main thing, I guess.
A little bit worried about just staying in a rut?
Yeah, staying in a rut. Mm. Not even that. Like, I know I'll feel happy. I feel happy at times. Mm. Like, I go a long time while feeling happy. But then when I do come down from it, it's always like aggressive. And then I always just feel so down for so long, so I'm scared it's just gonna be that roller coaster up and down for forever. Like, I'd rather be in a long rut forever than have the up and down all the time.
So you don't want to have the happiness to remember that, like, there is an up out of the down?
You just don't want to have to go through the extreme changes.
Yeah, I think it's just the extreme changes, because I like have, like, I feel so much clarity when I'm, like, feeling better. I feel like I'm able to understand things more without, like, the impending doom.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think it's just knowing that my brain can go from so happy, understanding things so clearly, to just the complete opposite, that it's, like, I don't know why it does that, and I don't know how that works. And I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have understanding things in a, like, kind of depressing way than doing both.
Yeah.
And like, why did I have such a switch? So it's like, I don't know.
You're not alone, my friend.
I know.
If you had
it's just exhausting.
It is, yeah.
If you had a global platform that you could just speak for like a minute or like a few seconds or something, and everybody on earth would hear it, at least have a chance to hear it, what would you say? What do you think everyone on earth needs to hear?
What?
I can ask it in a different way if you want.
No, I think I'm understanding. I just don't know. I feel like, dang, that's hard.
Okay, so if you were, if
I don't
you
know.
if you were on your deathbed and about to die, and you could leave like your friends and family with one thing, like what would feel like the most important thing to say?
There's too much to narrow it down to one thing.
Is that what you'd say?
I think so.
Your family. There's too much.
I think. What would I think I would say that life is precious. It's really rare to be alive. I feel like along those lines.
Why do you feel like it's rare?
The amount of semen that men have. If I was conceived a day later and got a different semen, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be alive.
The simple act of that connection is so unlikely.
Genuinely, you are so funny.
Genuinely, I think
if I got a different semen.
No, that's how it works, right? If I was conceived 2 minutes later, I wouldn't be alive. Me? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't. It would be different.
This guy? This fucking guy right here?
Wouldn't. Like, I don't understand how that works.
But it was you.
I know.
That's the rare part.
Way to send yourself into an existential crisis, dude. No wonder there's ups and downs. That brain is doing some work.
I know.
So, that's cool, though. It's cool to think about.
Yeah.
But then it can, like, go completely different ways. It's like, I couldn't even be alive right now. And, like, no one would even think differently about that. Because, like, there was just another person.
Or if you were alive, but you were, like, Ike.
Right?
Whoa.
What if I was born into a different family? Mm-hmm. I would be a completely different person.
Well, yeah.
Definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
With this family?
This is the only family that you could have any chance of, I don't know.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I've realized is this is the only family that a me would be a me in.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Very weird.
That is trippy to think about.
Or like if something went different. Like butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me.
Which happens every minute of every day.
I know.
I haven't seen that movie in a really long time.
I always like regret things, then I'm like, or like get mad about stuff that's happened in the past, but I'm like, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't have learned from anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, it's easy to look back at the past and be like, oh, but what if I would have done this? And then this thing would have happened instead. But you don't even know that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's easy to get caught in that loop.
Like the big stuff I feel like you'd know though, with past like friendships or relationships, even if they're like so heartbreaking when they end or like they were so good, you're not able to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a big one for me. I get really mad when I think about some stuff in the past that like people have done to me.
Mm.
But then I'm like, I wouldn't understand it otherwise and I wouldn't know how to avoid it now.
Yeah.
So, butterfly effect. Rare.
Is that what that alive. Is that what that means?
No.
What is like, it? What is well, it? When you're saying butterfly, like what, explain that to me.
I think
mm-hmm.
It's like this thing happens, so that this thing happens.
A
like,
butterfly
if that was different.
To
it
like
wouldn't be the
cocoon
same.
Cocoon somebody
a
and
butterfly,
then go through the journey of
no. The nutshell concept is a butterfly flaps its wings right here, and. Through the course of events that changes things, there's a hurricane around the other side of the world somewhere else.
It's
like that one little tiny thing, just the flap of a butterfly wing, triggered these series of events that caused this whole giant thing to happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
And like that's
so like a little tiny, like a little tiny.
Yes, that is.
Yeah,
little tiny action.
Something small that happened.
Okay.
Cause all this other stuff to happen. Or if that didn't happen, things would be completely different.
Or you say, you know, just watch the movie. But yeah, you say a word to somebody as you're walking down the street and that makes them do something different. So then they get hit by a car. You know, just like.
Yeah, it's.
Or not, dude. Maybe they just pay for somebody else's coffee.
Or maybe it was a bus.
Or maybe it was a moped.
Depends on what kind of butterfly it was.
Monarchs equal mopeds.
Ooh, good point. Come on, Mary. You know this
mopeds
stuff.
Monarchs and mopeds.
Yep. Monarchs equal mopeds in the butterfly effect.
Yep.
Actually, is that part of the movie, you guys?
No. I've never seen the movie. I just know what it is.
It's not even part of reality.
Oh.
It's just like.
It's all made up.
Oh, it's not like
it's
a.
It's like whose
no,
line
but
is
it's
it?
Like, it's
anyway.
Genuinely like. It's like made up, but it's also like a thing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
things
yeah.
happen
I'm
for
saying
a reason.
Well,
these
yeah, descriptions.
I mean, the concept of it is obviously.
Yeah.
Is Ashton Kutcher in that movie?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I didn't know that there was a movie about it.
Oh. So
it's called Mothman.
No, it's called The Butterfly Effect. I'm so
There's
confused.
Actually a movie called The Butterfly Effect.
Oh my gosh.
The Butterfly Effect is just a thing.
Wait, really?
Yes. It's like
this
a placebo
whole...
effect.
Oh my gosh. No, dude, you have to watch the movie Butterfly
okay.
Effect.
I'll watch the
it's,
movie.
It's dark.
It's you probably will, about...
You're going to love it.
Yes.
You guys are both sick and twisted and demented.
Yeah,
I know.
We know.
I've been told.
When Logie and I first became friends.
The grape.
Yeah. I threw a grape into Logie's mouth.
Yep.
From across the kitchen.
Across the kitchen. And I was holding Gussie down so he didn't catch it.
It was like a butterfly effect.
Yes, it was
the moment. I mean, at that point, the friendship, it just already is.
We could not.
Yeah. Mm.
But then we found out that we didn't like any of the same TV shows.
We didn't like any of the same things. We don't like a lot of the same things.
We're not friends because... No, we do now, though. We're actually realizing there's a lot of things. We both are obsessed with No Con.
We are. I saw them in concert. Pretty, pretty cool. Oh my gosh, those two songs that you showed me when we were driving to Dairy Queen with Mia like months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them all the time.
By him?
Mm-hmm.
From his
Close
older...
Close Behind and Anywhere or something. Two of my favorite songs. Yeah, keep meaning to tell you that.
He's incredible.
Yes. I think... That we, I'm sorry to interrupt the conversation about Rat Boy music, but.
Rat Boy?
Rat Boy music, yes.
What does that mean? Is this okay. another butterfly effect situation?
No. We're talking about Noah Kahn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why Rat Boy?
Well, because what I don't like, I'm going to put derogatory names on.
You don't like Noah Kahn?
Do I have to? Is it a prerequisite?
You don't have to.
Okay, then no, I don't.
You're judging.
There's probably one Shame. Noah Kahn song I like, probably. But I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, fair enough.
It cannot be your type of music. That's
Speaking
okay.
of darkness, I like to listen to him when I'm sad.
Me too. Mm. Pretty anyway, fire.
What about Rat Boy music?
That was what I was interrupting to be like, we needed to sit down and record with Ike, fourth chair.
Yes, he told me about that. That'd be great.
I put a little bit of a kibosh on it.
Really? Oh, for this time.
Yeah. I wanted you to have your own episode. Mary,
no, yeah. I appreciate
but
that.
But that's why because I have all the ideas and half of them, it's at least half, 90% of them are bad.
Those two together would be insane.
Why do you think
I'm going to be sitting here like this.
The amount of inside jokes we have.
Yeah, dude.
We don't even have conversations.
It'd be like, people would listen to it and be like, okay, we're going to figure out what they're saying. It's a different language. Mm-hmm. It's code.
And you won't even know. You'll never know.
The Army is going to recruit you guys for... encoding messages and stuff.
Because we're Russian spies.
Uh-oh.
No, because you have a language that no one knows.
Communists.
And it can't be cracked. Like wind talking.
What's wind talking?
Wind talkers. I have people in that are apparently are supposedly in my bloodline that were wind talkers, I think.
What is a wind talker? They
maybe not.
Wait.
I might be making that up.
Is a wind talker when somebody like talks as a gust of wind is coming and then their message gets sent where it's supposed to be?
My understanding.
Because I love that idea.
My understanding of it, and it's a really sad story actually, but it's really also really cool, is that during World War II, one of the huge deciders of the war was who could communicate in a way that no one else could understand. And everyone was coming up with these new encoding machines and trying
this family.
Yeah.
Great.
No, for real. I like when I first met you guys, I was like, I need to bring a fucking notebook next time.
The notebook.
Yeah.
This anyway. Family. So anyway, what the U.S. came up with was Navajo, because apparently the Navajo language was, if you didn't know it, you could, like, nobody could crack it. Nobody could figure it out. The problem was it required native Navajo people to go and communicate. And so, and it was just, there's books about it, but I don't think it was ever cracked in the wartime. And no one else knew it. And it was such a niche thing.
The U.S. soldiers were taught this language?
No, they actually had Navajo tribal people that would travel and relay the messages.
And those are the wind talkers.
Those are the wind talkers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Now I need to go research it to make sure that I'm not making this all up. But
yeah, totally.
I've read a lot. In my past life, I've read a lot of World War II stuff. So, yeah.
That's fascinating.
And apparently...
Apparently,
I've never ever been on live television before.
I never ever
Capetetto.
Been on live television before.
You guys are quoting stuff you watch on TikTok?
Yep.
YouTube.
Mm.
His name is also Noah, and he's not a rat boy.
No. He's ginger.
Mm-hmm.
He has no soul. What?
Logie?
Michael?
Mary?
Mary? Mary's exiled.
Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
And please start making bad content.
I will.
I would dearly love to see it.
Just do it
I
one
will
time.
Follow whatever it is.
If you want, we can judge you first.
No, I will judge you as then, perfect. Because I just want to see it. Ooh. Whoa.
This was cool.
It's fun, right? It was cool. Yeah, you like it?
I was kind of scared. I don't talk about myself a lot.
You don't. You did great.
Would it surprise you to know that I was also scared?
Why?
I've never had this conversation. Because I knew you were. I don't know. Because I haven't done this. Because
you knew I was scared. I was really cute. Like,
I don't want it to be. Because what if I don't have, can't think of one question to ask you and can't think of anything. And then we sit here and then you're just like, well.
What the fuck am I doing?
Fear is all made up inside of a person's mind. But I really appreciate that. Yeah. You did it.
I was excited.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you guys?
I was stoked.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I feel like I definitely got into it.
Good.
At first I was scared, but then I settled into it.
Yeah.
Mary.
I think you did great, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah. You seemed pretty relaxed the whole time.
Yeah.
Good job, Mary.
Thanks.
You did fantastic.
Thanks for having me here.
I'll be here all week.
You have my full support.
I won't be here this week.
Girl, I don't even live with you.
Oh yeah, you're moving this week.
What?
You'll be back. You move every week.
Oh, I was like, what?
I'm going to Florida.
Again?
I've never been to Florida.
Oh.
Don't go right now. I don't want to.
Road trip someday.
One day.
You do.
Florida's, there's some cool spots, but
you know how I know? Because why not?
No.
Is there anywhere you want to travel?
Europe.
Cool. Is it a little
bit
top spot?
I also want to go to, I don't know if it is. Mm. I think Spain would be cool. Yeah. Scotland.
Italy's Scotland's a type of rice in India.
What?
I also want to go back to a tropical spot.
Yeah.
I am myself on an island. My freckles are back.
Mm.
Did you say you are yourself on an island?
I feel like I am.
Wow.
Not like
islands
true,
bring
like
things
fully
out in people, dude.
Just like being, I feel like I'm, I don't know.
Mm.
I liked it.
Mm.
It's good.
Go chase that feeling.
I will.
Thank you for being your beautiful, playful, amazing self.
Of course. That was great.
Keep on keeping on.
I will.
Trite.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Just, if you don't remember anything else of the advice that we're giving you right now, start making bad content.
I will. Maybe I'll make it like another account.
I'm just going to push you just enough to piss you off, and then I'm just going to laugh.
I'll start making them and putting them into drafts.
Hey,
and then when I,
honestly,
then
yeah.
When I get one that I'm, this feels good, then I'll
post a good
it.
Idea.
Because then I'll have all the shit content together, but it doesn't mean I have to post it yet.
Yeah.
By the way, Amanda from my work, she worked for a fashion magazine.
She is
somebody that you need to meet, and eventually you will, but she's going to be a resource for any questions that you have. As soon as you have questions or start having questions and you want another resource, Amanda is it. So
that's awesome.
You have resources.
I do.
Yeah.
I know Mariah knows a guy.
Yeah.
She probably does.
Mariah knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
Great. You guys are great.
Ditto.
And break.
Bye.
Thanks for traveling another world with Emotion Art. If you enjoyed the conversation, please let us know. You can email me at michael@thisisemotionart.com. Your feedback helps build our momentum, which is just going to bring you more stories from other worlds. So let us know what you think, good, bad, or otherwise. Yes, please.